flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's a very EMF meter. Started with some of the main ones.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Buddha, Vishnu, the Dalai Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained. Conservative paranormal talk. Big on God. Big on guns. Our God can beat up your God.
the Ghost Divas.
Live.
They're fabulous, but evil in all the right ways.
They are witches and monsters and freaks.
Forget Triple X. The Ghost Divas are so hot, they had to change the rating system. Triple U coming your way.
Uncensored, unfiltered, and uninhibited.
She was clearly insane.
As if. Catch the Ghost Divas TNA. That's theory and advice. Perv.
Oh, God. Men are such babies.
It's the Ghost Divas. They tackle the hottest topics in the paranormal community. Don't let the TNA fool you. These chicks actually know what they're talking about when it comes to paranormal research and subjects of the unexplained. Chicks with brains. Are you scared yet? It's the Ghost Divas live on Para-X Radio.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Hey, this is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L. Hit it, Doug.
All right, I shall. Catherine Ramsland, PhD, has published 33 books. She holds graduate degrees in forensic psychology, clinical psychology, and philosophy. Currently, she teaches forensic psychology at DeSales University in Pennsylvania, someplace that we just were just last month.
Yeah.
After publishing two books in psychology, Engaging the Immediate and The Art of Learning, she wrote Prism of the Night, a biography of Anne Rice. At that time, she had a cover story in Psychology Today on our culture's fascination with vampires. Then she wrote guidebooks to Anne Rice's fictional world, The Vampire Companion, The Official Guide, and my screen just went blank. here we go. Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles, The Witch's Companion, The Official Guide to Anne Rice's Wives of the Mayfair Witches,
what the hell's going on over there, Doug?
Her next book was Dean Koontz, A Writer's Biography, and then she ventured into journalism with a 2-year investigation of the vampire subculture, and we talked to her shortly after that. To write Piercing the Darkness, Undercover with Vampires in America Today. Following that was Ghost Cemetery Stories and The Science of Vampires. She has also written for the New York Times Book Review, The Writer, the Network Star Ledger, Publishers Weekly, and the Trenton Times, and probably so much more that's not even listed here. Of course, her website is www.catherineramsland.com, which is permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk, Catherine.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Sound like a true professional, Doug, I have to say. That was wonderful. Catherine, welcome back. It's been a real... this is my first time talking to you. This is my first pleasure I've had. Because the last time when you were on, that was like, God. What year was that, Doug? You remember?
It had to have been like 2004 or 5. It was a while ago. It was shortly, as a matter of fact, what we talked about was the vampire book. So it was many books ago.
Yeah.
Now.
Well,
and it was a complete pleasure to get to talk with you about vampire books. And now, of course, we're on to ghosts and things and forensics. You're getting back to basics, basics, doing the forensic stuff, which is what you excelled at.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like. That's what I really enjoy doing.
I have to announce, to the listening audience and to you, Catherine, also, I have to admit a guilty pleasure that I have in life. And this is something that I mentioned this to you via email, but I have to announce this on the show.
Okay.
I love these forensic shows that are on TV. Now, I don't know how you're going to react to that.
I'm frightened because so do I.
God, those things, I can watch them all day and night. I have. I watched a 10-hour block of Forensic Files one day. I can watch this stuff nonstop, Catherine, because let's just admit, it is so interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. We're attracted to mystery and to puzzles, and it constantly gives us puzzles.
Yeah, and that's what these things are. They're a giant puzzle, and with the technology today that people are using, it's obvious, you know, it's doing a better job. People are able to catch more of these criminals and whatever it is they're doing. So you're working on that. That's something that you're working on right now. What are you presently doing in that field right now, if I may ask?
Well, I teach forensic psychology, and that's I have a serial killers class and a death investigation class and a basic forensic psychology course, and I also teach in criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing that, but I write actually a lot of stories that are about these shows. I have the forensic science of CSI and the CSI effect and cold case files and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I stay pretty close to it. I know some of the writers and producers of these shows. I mean, Forensic Files is based here in my town, so I know them.
Okay.
And I also know a lot of forensic scientists, and sometimes I even put them all together when I can.
Oh, wow. Well, and you mentioned that before, that you a lot of these stories you see out there, you've had a part in some of these stories,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yep.
Now, well, what I want to do, and I mentioned this, you know, we talked about this week, you know, because you study ghosts. You're out there doing stuff like we're doing. You're out there ghost hunting and trying to experience or capture some of this stuff on film or recorder or whatnot. And I thought it would be interesting to see if there, with the two fields that you work in, I think, you know, just as a layman in forensics, and even more layman in the paranormal, okay,
mm-hmm.
that there may be some glue between the two of these that may tie them together. And I was wondering, you know, we're kind of short on time now, unfortunately, but I'm wondering if you have seen any type of, with ghost investigation, right, and then forensic investigation, I'm wondering if you have seen any similarities in maybe approaches, or if there's some things that we may be able to move from the forensic side of the house over to the paranormal side of the house to help investigators out in their ventures.
Well, a lot of forensics is about enhancing things, like enhancing voices, enhancing pictures and whatnot to get more discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly some of that kind of protocol can be applied in, you know, ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're always looking for bodies underground. So.
Well, there's a good pointer.
You know, it's not like I'm not trying to tell forensic people to go, you know, buy all this equipment and whatnot, or cadaver dogs or things like that. But you know, it's something. It's a crossover. I just read a book called Bethlehem Ghost,
which
is about my area, and I'm actually right now writing a book on Lehigh Valley murders.
Mm-hmm.
And the two do really cross over because a lot of those murder stories are some of the ghost stories. And I found that here we actually made forensic history with one of the ghost stories, which was very interesting.
Really?
So they do cross over. Yeah, because the people were just telling me the ghost story, and the more they talked, the more I realized, wait a minute, I know the person who was part of that trial.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually made forensic history in the United States.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so that's kind of fun because I bring in that expertise into stories that, you know, nobody's even thinking about those angles, and yet they're there. I think though, to answer your question, to really, what I think forensics could actually bring to ghost hunters, and I wish somebody would do this, is some of the audio enhancement technology. Because, you know, I love EVP. That's my favorite thing, and ghost hunting. And I do think that we could actually capture better voices than we're doing and maybe do better enhancement.
Well, this is a stroke of irony, I have to say, because Catherine, our previous guest we had on, Dr. Andrew Nichols, I'm not contesting, but I'm just saying that this may be another thing to think about too. We were talking about EVP with Dr. Andrew Nichols, who's a parapsychologist, right? He works mm-hmm. in parapsychology and things like that, and he pretty much laid it down and said, you know, and we kind of talk about this too. We've mentioned this too on the show that, you know, if you really have to go and enhance a piece of audio. Okay, to you know, and maybe you may have seen this. I'm sure you have, where people have taken, you know, they'll take a piece of audio and it kind of has something, a little blip there you may hear, and they'll take that piece of audio and amplify it,
or
run it through filters and stuff like that. Is that what you're talking about? Or
No.
All right, just wanted to clarify that.
No, because I've heard all that kind of stuff, and I hear a lot of claims made that really have no basis, but. No, enhancement is more being able to use more specialized equipment to get a better, a more crystallized voice,
yes.
Not amplifying it. It's trying to find out better. Well, for example, acoustic forensics now is able to show if two people fire bullets at the same time, Mm-hmm. Acoustic forensics can make that distinction and say there are two guns.
Okay.
We didn't used to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not amplifying it. They're just making a finer distinction in the noises so that it does sound different than one person firing.
Okay. What you're more or less saying, then, it's not in the actual analyzation of the audio itself. It's the capture of it that we need to...
It's both. It's mm-hmm. the capture and the ability to... retain the integrity of that capture while also crystallizing it better.
Yes, I understand. And I think we're, Doug, you still there, man?
Well, one of the things that we're doing, for example, is we when I'm out in the field trying to capture EVP, I use a condenser microphone. And which, of course, condenser microphones have been used, of course, throughout the years to... in studio work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. high-end microphones.
High quality. Mm-hmm. And they listen kind of like the ear. I mean, now, of course, ears aren't a diaphragm coated with gold, but it's the, you know, electrical equivalent of a human ear. So they listen a lot more like the human ear than an electric microphone, for example. So I like that. I think the clarity is there with condenser microphones. And now they sell them plug in right to the USB port of a computer. And so I really like the condenser micro. You know, they're powered. They listen more technically like a human ear listens to the ambient sounds, and I think that it produces a much clearer...
It does.
...signal, you know, so that you can get that noise. When you hear a noise, it's like, okay, something really was there. It heard something, and it put it on the recording. So
right.
I like to use the condenser microphone instead of the different kinds of technology microphones.
Like my Kraft digital recorder.
Right, like a Kraft digital recorder.
Yeah, but then think about this. There are, you know, on some of these night shows on cable, you see ads for elderly people with the ear-enhancing things so that they can hear TV without turning it up. Why don't we use that technology?
Yeah, and there are the bionic ears and stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
We've seen people using those, right, Doug?
Yes, we have. I know someone who took one out to Gettysburg and was listening for the sounds of war, essentially. From scanning around and seeing any anomalous sounds and then concentrating on that area. And I think that was a fantastic use of technology.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned a few minutes ago, Catherine, that you completed a book. You were co-author of a book called Bethlehem Ghosts, correct?
Right.
I need to, I'm dying to hear this. I was wondering, first of all, this is a collection of stories, more or less, around the Bethlehem area, correct?
Right.
And we only have a couple minutes, unfortunately. That's why I'm wondering if you could just tease us with a couple of stories from this book. Because this sounds like, I read the synopsis of the book, and it was really interesting sounding. And I'm wondering if there's a couple of stories that you wanted to share with us tonight.
Sure. Well, I mean, I really wrote it because Bethlehem has quite a unique history. The Moravians settled here, had a lot of Native American things, you know, Indian raids and all that. Lots of people, famous people, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, came through the area. So because it has such a unique history, I wanted to attach the stories to that as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I found Moravians are from Germany, or the area around Germany, and some of these stories are very specific to them, my favorite being the one that's featured on the cover. Actually, is you can see a sort of ghostly stagecoach.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this phantom undertaker, Der Ausleger, who would drive his phantom horses around in a particular area south of Bethlehem. But what I particularly liked about the story, which is really gruesome and sick, is he'd sort of show up at viewings and funerals and whatnot, and he liked eating the food. But one of the disgusting habits he had was during the 1800s when people would wash down bodies in their homes,
mm-hmm.
for funeral parlors. They washed down the bodies in their homes, and they dumped the water on the yard, and he'd come along and slip it up.
Oh, God!
Now, you don't hear any ghost stories like that.
No, that's definitely a new one, I have to say, Catherine.
Wow.
So for me, finding these more sort of unique ones that come from a specific culture, that it just was really fun.
You know what's
I'm speechless. Go ahead, Doug. It's all you, man.
You know what's interesting? Right near the Haunted Warren Winery, just a couple cities away, there is a rose called Moravian.
Yeah, there is.
And this is in Michigan. And the story is that at the north end of that road, there was indeed a Moravian settlement.
Yeah, probably.
Right along the river. And what happened is, of course, they were trying to convert, you know, the Native Americans to Christianity. So what happens is there was a point, though, where they got kicked out and they had to go back to Detroit. And, well, it wasn't called Detroit at the time. And so they say that on foggy nights, it has to be a foggy night, you can, if driving slowly up and down Moravian, you can see in the mists of the fog, you can see the forms of the original Moravian settlers, you know, trekking back to Detroit, you know, I've driven up and down it on foggy nights looking. I never saw anything, but it definitely is an intriguing story.
Well, that's like one we have here, where they had two settlements that were, I don't know, 10 miles apart, and every Christmas and Easter they would do this procession at night singing hymns, and the children had their parts and the adults had their parts, and you know, they'd sing in rounds. And then as more and more people settled the area who weren't Moravian, they stopped doing that, but you can still hear them singing, their ghost singing. Again, unique story. But yeah, that's interesting because you have a procession of people.
Yeah,
and they definitely did processions.
They definitely did.
Yeah.
How about one, if we can? I don't want to leak too much, but how about one more story from that, from your new book, Bethlehem Ghosts?
A teaser.
Okay. All right. There was one where we had a mill. And the guy who owned the mill died by getting threshed through the grain thresher, and his remains ended up in the stream that was next to the mill. And so when they went to put a road there to join, there's two roads here, 378 and 309. When they went to join 378 to 309, each night they knew that they had to move the stream where this man's remains had been found, and each time, you know, they would work to reorient the stream, they'd come back the next day, and it was back to what it had been. And finally, they just decided to move the road.
Probably easier.
These couple stories you told us, they have a humorous kind of outcome, though, it seems like, at the end.
Oh, yeah, I have some that are scarier than, you know, they're definitely scary. And
oh, yeah.
There was one I spent with a man, and they live in two surgeons had lived in this house and had done their surgeries in the house. That's where they did their practice and did amputations and things, and this family had a number of things happen to them. Like the son, the older son, who no longer will even go in there, was down in the basement, and he saw he was son by marriage, and he saw his father, who had died, down in the basement beckoning to him to come. And then when he went up the steps, someone threw a rock at him.
Ooh.
So there are some, you know, spooky things.
Yeah, that's...
They'd find wet footprints on the floor, and the father of the household, said he woke up one night and this guy was shaking him, saying, "Give me back my leg." You know, when I heard that story, I thought, "Oh, right." But then he told it very seriously, and he was really quite scared.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that isn't the result of NyQuil either. Sometimes it is. But I'm willing to put my money that wasn't the result of that. Catherine, we have to thank you so much for several things tonight. It's been a pretty trying evening for us here.
Yeah, I bet.
And we really appreciate you sticking it out with us and coming out and hanging out with us and talking to us about some of this stuff. You know, I really like, you know, again, I don't... It's out. It's out. Yes. I'm in trouble. You're in trouble too, Bonnie.
So am I.
Yeah. We're both forensic, you know, forensic show junkies. I am.
So am I, obviously. I get plenty of writing from them.
You're the ultimate forensic show junkie, it sounds like. Yeah, you write them. But it's fascinating stuff. It's mm-hmm. just, it's mystery, again, you know. I think that's what makes it so fascinating is just that it's mystery about all the things we talk about here on the show.
Yeah, it's not just mystery about what happened, but what people do. And so we're fascinated with each other, with the things that people think up to do to each other and the kinds of secrets that people have that result in these crimes. And that's really what we're fascinated with.
Yeah, so, you know, watch your back, everybody. Because Catherine might be making a story out of you someday. You never know.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating. Catherine, hand the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Okay.
Guys, where do I start?
We made it through an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Without any problems.
We made
like half of a ghostly talk.
I'm thankful for
definitely.
That.
Yeah, but Doug, you ordered the new machine already, didn't you?
I have it in my what is that thing called? The cart. I have it in my cart at the moment.
Yeah.
And I just have to check out, and then boom, we have a new Ghostly Talk server.
That shows you how reactionary we are on this show. We're solving the problem during the show. I mean, it just happened a little while ago, and we're trying to get this thing fixed as soon as possible. Again,
absolutely.
Guys, this is an abbreviated Ghostly Talk. Go ahead,
the
Doug.
New book is Bethlehem Ghost by Catherine Ranflin. It's www.catherineranflin.com. Of course, it's permanently linked up at Ghostly Talk. We also have to thank... and Dr. Andrew Nichols of parapsychologylab.com for putting up with us and our technical difficulties tonight. It is unusual that we have technical difficulties.
We really hammered it down over the last couple of years, but this was one of those nights. Well, I also want to say sorry to Larry Flaxman. He was our first guest we were supposed to have on the show tonight. We're going to reschedule and have him back on, too. So sorry about that, Larry. We're going to work that out with him tomorrow. But yeah,
and I want to profess my love for Bonnie Joe.
Oh, God, here we go.
And I want to thank everybody for listening.
It's not going to get you out of hot water.
Exactly.
Oh, bummer.
You didn't say you love me either, man. You're in deep doo-doo with me, dude.
And
I guarantee
Scott L. Bonnie Joe and Scott L.
Look at him backpedal. Guys, Doug, Catherine, Doug, you can leave. We don't need you anymore. Catherine, hang on the line. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Guys, we'll see you next week with hopefully a full show.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.